Welcome back to the Spodcasters. I'm Andy Samuelson, the KUSports.com editor.
Did you forget?
I did almost forget. That's Ryan Wood, the KU football beat writer. You know, I'm all nervous today because we're in the presence of a legend.
Yes, wow. Tom Keegan, that would be. Thank you.
That is true. That's Tom Keegan, but let's spare no further ado. We're joined by the legendary KU player, football coach, Don Fambro. How are you doing today, Don?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Along with what you mentioned about Tom, you could also add a race car driver.
Race car driver?
That's right.
If you've ever ridden with him.
It's well documented.
Yeah. He's making a reputation around town.
That's right.
These two guys, Ryan Wood and Don Fambro, agree with my wife, and all three of them are wrong. I'm actually an excellent, very careful, cautious driver, as my insurance agent could tell you.
Right.
Well, how's the leg today, Don? You've been pretty instrumental in a couple of these alumni games. How are you feeling today?
Well, I feel pretty good. I've been in a whirlpool for the last 2 days. I'll probably be in one for a week after today. But we have a lot of fun with this. And my main objective was to try to find a hard-toe shoe, which you can't find any. You know, they're all sidewinders. So as a last resort, I think we found one in a museum down here, so I'm going to try it out. And I guess I won't have an excuse for missing today.
I don't understand why all these new guys are going to the soccer style when toe poking is obviously the way to go, isn't it?
Well, it is as far as I'm concerned. They bring these people in from Africa and everywhere else, and hell, they've never seen a football before, but they can kick that soccer type. And I tell you, we have one on our team now that kicks with the soccer style. Mm-hmm. And boy, I'll never forget that Iowa State game last year that he won.
Hey, it worked. Hey, it worked, boy. In that game, didn't it?
Yeah, if he can win a game like that, he can butt it with his head as far as I'm concerned.
Speaking of this year's team, no more Charlton Keith, no more Nick Reed, no more Charles Gordon. I imagine there's no way the defense can be as good as it was last year, is there?
You know, Tom, that's the talk around town, around the state. That's the first question people want to know. They say, well, surely we won't be as good on defense as we were a year ago. I don't believe that. I tell you, I don't believe that. We got a kid named Revere that was a red shirt sophomore or freshman last year. He'll be, I think, a sophomore this coming year. And this kid is about 6'4". He weighs about 255. And he'll chase you down a city block just to knock your head off if he has. He is mean and tough, and we got other people that are joining him. We're going to be better in the secondary. We've been trying to cover receivers who are 6'4 and 6'5 with 5'9 and 5'10 defensive people. Now we got some height back there and we got some speed. I personally feel that we'll be better on defense this year than we were last year.
Wow. Will you be able to pressure the quarterback?
The one position that I'm a little bit concerned, we had two excellent defensive ends. And you don't have to take my word for it. You can go right over here at Columbia, Missouri, and ask that quarterback how many times they knocked him on his ass. And the statement he made, they asked him after our game last fall, they said, well, are you glad the season's over? And he said, well, I'll tell you one thing. I'm glad I'll never have to play against KU again. And that you know, is something that we worry about. Another thing we worry about is the depth that we have. We've got to be lucky with our injuries and keep people healthy. But I really believe if these kids keep working, keep improving like they did this spring, that there will be no letdown on our defensive unit this year.
Well, Don Fambro's our guest on the Spodcasters, and Ryan Wood is
to my left. Mike Rivera, you talk about that attitude he has, that nasty streak he has, and Joe Mortensen has that too, another linebacker coming in. How much does that attitude and that mean streak really propel a defense to being as effective as they can be?
You got to have it on defense. Mm-hmm. See, defense is so different from offense. On offense, you got to learn skills. You're supposed to be able to block a person without holding. That's what it amounts to. Now, that's not always, you know, Missouri,
without
some of those folks,
caught,
they
right.
teach them to hold a little bit. But anyway, defense is something that comes natural to, you know, you can tackle people, but the question you had there, how important is that type of attitude? Well, it's catching. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm gonna play on this defensive unit, and these people are aggressive and they want to hit somebody, they want to hurt somebody, I better have that type of attitude or I'll be sitting on the bench, because they won't allow it. And that's the attitude they have this spring. I tell you, the coaches have done a remarkable job bringing those young kids along. I tell you what, it's going to be a lot of fun next fall.
You seem excited.
I am excited. And you're getting me all excited, and I got to go out there and play a football game about 2 hours from now, and I'll probably miss the ball completely.
Just thinking about it.
If I do, I'm going to blame it on you.
Okay.
You know, you played football, you coached football, you worked as an assistant under coaches. Where would you rank Mark Mangino as far as, would he be a coach you think you would have he would have gotten the most out of you? Would he be a coach you would have been like to be on his staff? What do you think of Mark Mangino as a coach?
I would have loved to have played football for Coach Mangino. I'll tell you the main reason. He's fair. He's fair. And you can ask, I believe, most football players, and they'll tell you that's the first thing they look in a football coach. Is this man fair? He treats a first-string quarterback the same way he treats a fifth-string guard who might not ever play. He treats them both the same, nasty. And he's a great recruiter. He can go in a family. He's a very intelligent man. He does a super job recruiting, and that's the name of the game. But, yes, to answer your question, I would love to have played for Coach Mangino.
Now, would you have considered yourself a fair coach?
I think maybe I was back then. You know, I made a statement today that you asked me about the football team. Now, if I was still coaching, I would tell you a little different story. I'd say, well, we had a terrible spring practice. Our defense, we lost all of our players. We got nobody to replace them, we'll be damn lucky to win one game. But I'm not coaching anymore, so I can be honest. We're going to be pretty damn good, and it will be an exciting football team, and one that our people, will love to come out and watch.
Well, let me ask you this, Coach Pham. You make the bowl game, so that gives you an extra month of practice, and Mangino's coaching staff and Mangino himself are pretty darn good at instructing guys and getting them to improve as individuals. How much of an advantage is that to have that extra month where you're still playing football?
Well, I'll give you an example. The day that we found out that we would be invited to go play in the bowl game down in Fort Worth, Texas, that afternoon at practice, Coach Mangino took all of the seniors and put them on one field and just let them work on conditioning, stay in shape. He took the underclassmen and started practicing with them for two or whatever we're allowed to practice, 2 hours a day. And we made a lot of accomplishments there, bringing these kids along, a lot of improvement, just working with the underclassmen. And then about the last week or 10 days before the game, then he brought them all together. And I thought that was just an excellent way of doing it. That way he got to concentrate on the young kids. They got more reps than they would have if they'd been if the seniors had been with them. So they made a lot of improvement during that time.
That's interesting. And you told me once a story about how it also helps recruiting. And there was one player that you ended up recruiting. If you had not been in a bowl game in Birmingham, maybe you never would have got this player, and he turned out to be a pretty fair player for KU. Remember the story I'm talking about?
Well, I'm trying to think now the player you were talking about.
Willie Pless.
Oh, Willie Pless, yes. My gosh, yes. Well, I'll tell a story. We have a KU doctor who lived down in this town where Willie Pless was playing football, and he was the team physician. And he was always sending me a film of a football player saying, this kid can play, this kid can be all big eight, big whatever it was then. And in most cases, that kid could not walk and chew gum at the same time. But we'd always call him up and thank him, you know, for sending the film. And so one day I'm in my office and the coaches come in and say, well, Coach, you got another film here from Doc so-and-so down in Alabama. And I said, well, look at it and send it back to him like we always do. They said, you better come look at this one. So I went in, and that was Willie Pless. Now, they claim that the reason Alabama and Auburn, those schools were not interested in Willie, was because he was too short. Mm-hmm. If Willie had been 2 feet tall, I would have given him a scholarship. So he hit like nobody else I'd seen hit in a long time. We went to Birmingham, and I called his mama and asked if I could come down and visit. And that little town where Willie lived was about 80 miles away. So we drove down and got a commitment from him. 2 weeks later, he plays in the Alabama All-Star game, and he's voted the most valuable player of the game. The next morning, Bear Bryant's on the doorstep, Shug Jordan's on the doorsteps, and everybody. The mama wouldn't even let him in the house. Now, Willie might have been, he might have been a little different, but boy, that's the important thing about recruiting the mamas. When they make a statement, they live up to it. She told them, said, Willie has already committed to the University of Kansas, and if you want to see him play, you'll have to go to Lawrence next fall.
That's great.
Well done. Well, we're in the spirit of spring right now. We have the spring game coming up on Friday night, and I want to know kind of how the spring season has evolved since your time in college football. Now it's a month-long event, and it's become almost a holiday to finish it off, and tonight will be very festive with Mr. Fambro kicking field goals from 50 yards out and whatever you do. How was it back then, though? How was the spring?
Well, it was so different. We got so damn many rules now that every school has to have a Harvard lawyer to interpret the rules.
That's right.
There's no way I could coach now. They'd have me in jail. we used to start spring. We'd start spring practice the day the snow melted, oh, wow. And we would practice until the end of school. And today, you know, we spend about the first 30 minutes, which is good. Don't misunderstand me. This mm-hmm. is great. We spend about the first 30 minutes on stretching and this and that, getting the kids ready to play. Back in those days, we took 3 side straddle hops, and then we scrimmaged for 2 hours. And as we were talking, the most common injury we had was a broken nose because we didn't have face masks. Everybody would get a broken nose on Saturday, and we'd line up Monday morning. The doctor would have a steel rod, and we'd just line up, and he'd push it back in place, and we'd break it again the next Saturday.
I heard that back when you played, the only thing the trainer had in the training room was a bottle of rubbing alcohol, and by the third quarter, he had drunk half of it.
I was fixing to say, yeah, that was just for drinking purposes, not rubbing purposes. And, you know, things have changed so much. I can remember back then, if you hurt an ankle, you hurt a wrist, you hurt something, immediately they'd put heat on it. Well, that'll give you blood clots. You're supposed to put ice on something like that for 48 hours. We didn't know about that. And weights, we weren't allowed to pick up a weight because that would make you muscle bound. We weren't allowed to go swimming because that'd make you muscle soft. So, you know, we just played football.
Yeah, yeah, seems to work too.
So back to this year's team, fam. You got John Cornish, who we all know about, a terrific runner. He can get you breakaway runs and fast and all that. You got Brian Murph, who's maybe a playmaker. What do you think of the offense? Are you more excited about the offense than you were a year ago at this time?
I'm more excited about the offense than I've been in years because, I tell you, I can see these kids. Well, you take, for example, a kid named Quigley, who's a running back. The first week of spring practice, I was so disappointed. I just didn't feel like that. I knew he was big, he was fast, and he had all the tools, but he just wasn't doing the job like I thought he should. In the last 2 weeks of spring practice, I believe that this Quigley kid probably improved as much, and that's due to his coaches. Boy, they worked with him, I'm telling you, night and day. And at the end of spring practice, I tell you, he's going to be a kid that we're going to be proud of in years to come. He probably made more improvement than anybody on our football team from the first week of spring practice to the last. And like I say, I give our running back coach and other coaches and Coach Mangino credit for that because they could see the potential in this kid, and they really brought him along. Receiving, we're catching the ball so much better than we did a year ago, and that's because of just coaching and reps, you know, just throwing the ball and catching. And the kid you met, this Murph kid, probably has the softest hands maybe of any receiver I've seen in a long, long time. He can catch the ball. Some kids will catch the ball and it sounds like you hit the side of a barn or something. This kid is, you can't even tell when he catches the ball. And all of our receivers have improved so much.
Herford.
And I can understand that. Herford, you know, we were trying to find, or the coaches were, trying to find a place for him to play. And we didn't know whether it was going to be quarterback, we didn't know whether it was going to be running back or receiver or what it might be. Now he's found a home. He's happy because he's not being moved every day to a different position. And he had a tremendous spring practice. He's catching the football. He's got speed. So I am well pleased with our receivers.
How about quarterback?
How about Kerry Meyer? This is a guy. I'm no small guy. I'm 6'2", 200. And I stand up next to him, and he looks like a linebacker. Yeah. He's just such a big guy and so athletic. And
well,
how's he going to be for KU?
You know, coaches, we're always looking at some kid and say, well, he reminds me of so-and-so. Kerry reminds me of Frank Sauer that played here for me a few years back. He's about the same size. He's 6'3", I believe, and he weighs about 212. He can run. He's got a bullet for an arm. Now, I have not seen him in game conditions.
Yeah.
As we practice and every other team in the country that I know of, they protect their quarterbacks. You've got to.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to. They get hit on every down. And if you didn't protect them, you know, well, you'd get hurt. So I've got to see him in the game conditions before I make up. But right now, for what the coaches have asked him to do, I tell you, I am so excited. I just feel like this kid is going to be the quarterback of the future. Barman had an excellent spring practice. Mm-hmm. And there's a kid, you know, that – I know he's been a little disappointed. The coaches and the fans been a little disappointed. He's still a youngster, and he improved so much this spring that I feel like it. He would be a contender for that position. So that's
a good hand.
There again, you know, somebody, and I remember this so well. I think one time I asked Doc Allen, our old basketball coach. I said, Doc, how did recruiting go? He looked at me and he said, Don, I'll tell you 5 years from now, something like mm-hmm. that. See, it's because you don't know. And especially a kid that plays that position, the quarterback position, you've not seen him in contact. So you don't know how you react when somebody's trying to knock his head off on every play. Some people don't react to that very well.
Yeah, Don, we saw how important that was last year with the quarterbacks. A lot of people might be disappointed in Barman, but you saw the struggles of Swanson and Luke, and then they come back down and save the season pretty much.
Absolutely, absolutely. You can't give up on these kids. You can't give up on them. You got to keep working, because they're youngsters. They're youngsters, and they're still maturing, and they might do something wrong today, and tomorrow that might be altogether different. So you keep coaching. If they've got the tools like this, my gosh, does he ever have the tools? Physical, he can run, he can do all the things. See, and in today's football, the quarterback has got to run. He's got to give you that added dimension. Now, you know, because there are big times in that offensive line, I don't care how good they are, there are going to be times that quarterback's going to have to go out of the pocket. And to keep from losing 10 or 15 yards, he's got to be able to do a running job for you. So that gives you that extra dimension you need to have a good offensive football team. This kid can do it.
Something, of course, Bill Whittemore really exemplified over the years, too. But my question to you is that Kansas has beaten Missouri 3 years in a row now. How long will that streak continue?
Or how long do you want it to continue?
I think I just made him mad.
No. You know, people say, you dislike Missouri. And why do you dislike them? They're so easy to dislike. You know, I've known some good people that go to University of Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
And in a year's time, they turn into a bad person. I think they vaccinate them. They vaccinate them with something.
Take all the good out of them.
Yeah, take all the good out of them. Missouri, they can't handle us. No, they can't handle us. No way.
You know why?
You know why? Our kids, they want that game a little bit worse than those people do. Mm-hmm. And as long as they approach the game with the attitude they have for the last, since Coach Mangino's been here, we'll be hard to beat.
Provided they don't roll the down markers, so they only have to go 8 yards for a first down when you have to go 10.
Yeah, then you know. And then something terribly, terribly bad happened to me about 2 weeks ago. I got on the Missouri bus. Not on purpose. There was 10 buses parked behind our field house, and we were going to use 4 or 5 of them to go to Topeka to scrimmage. And 9 of those buses were KU buses, and 1 was Missouri, and I got on that by mistake. Some kid came running up and he said, "Coach, you better get off of this bus. It belongs to the University of Missouri. They know you're on it. They're going to lock the door and drive you to Columbia and make you walk back." Well, I did a 100-yard sprint getting off of that bus.
About 9 flat, wasn't it?
Missouri baseball team was in town.
I didn't mind the walk back, but I didn't want to be associated with them that long. I don't like them.
Well, we want to thank you for being the first, for making Spodcasters history here today, Coach Pham. You were the first guest ever on the Spodcasters, and we think it's a timely guess because we have an inkling that you maybe are going to win the game with an extra point today.
Well, I don't know about that. I can always blame it on the holder and blame it on the center. Last year, I blamed it on Winter because he blocked the kick. So I about run out of excuses. Now that I have my hard-toe shoe, I don't have any excuse. I'll kick the extra point.
All right.
All right.
Sounds good.
And you just scored a touchdown as far as being a guest on the Spodcast.